Well, good morning, everyone. It is good to see you in the Lord's house this morning as we've gathered to worship a risen Savior. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer, please? Father, thank you for a beautiful day that we can gather together. Thank you for seasons as they change and we see new life. And it reminds us, Father, that you bring new life to our hearts. But Father, as we gather this morning, many people come with burdens that they bear. Their hearts remain heavy by the load that they have to carry day in and day out. And we come to bring our requests to you. We place our burdens at the feet of the cross this morning. And we trust you, Father, to meet us at the point of our need. We want our lives to reflect your love, your grace, and your mercy. And we come to you right now asking that you will hear our prayers. And we pray that you will help us to trust you more today than yesterday. And we pray, Father, for your strength, for your consolation, for healing. We pray that you will continue to point us in the right direction. But Father, not just for our personal needs, we pray for our church this morning. We have brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning who need your touch, and we lift them up to you. We pray that as a body of believers, we can keep our focus on you. And we trust you to guide this church into the future with faithful ministry, that we can take our place of service, our responsibility, and we pray for this church to grow. We ask, Father, that you will be our shepherd in these days. I pray for the search committee as they continue their work. We ask that you would continue to offer them guidance and direction. And we ask, Father, that at the right moment, you will bring forth the next pastor for this church. Father, we love you. You have provided for us so many times in the past. So as we face the challenges of today, help us to remember that you are faithful. And in response, help us to love you more, help us to trust you more, and help us to respond in faithful obedience. Amen. So imagine this morning that you've come to a place where you need somebody to make a decision on your behalf. Maybe it's in a room similar to this. There are places to sit for you to wait your turn. But there's a lot of other people have gathered too to wait their turn. And there's a judge in the Middle East, maybe called a Qadi. And he's sitting in luxury up front, just about sinking in all the cushions. And there are secretaries up front and people milling about. And this is a system where justice is not equal at all. As a matter of fact, there are people milling about up front, and you notice coins being exchanged. Not little bitty coins, but I'm talking about valuable coins and stacks of coins. Because in this system, the favorable verdict sometimes comes to the person who's paid the most money. And people are wanting, you hear dozens of voices calling out because they feel their case is most important. But really it's the people who, let's face it, buy off the attention of the judge whose cases are called. But on the outskirts of this crowd, over and over again, there's one little lady who keeps crying out for justice in her case, but she has no coins to give to the secretaries. Nothing that's going to call for her case to be heard. And so on the edge of the room in the back corner, every time it quietens just a little bit, you hear her call out, "Hear my case, I need justice." That's it. Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Now, as I said on Wednesday night, this is a story Jesus has told on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to die. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read God's word together? Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" Be seated, please. So what I've tried to describe to you before we read the scriptures, the life situation of Jesus' parable, it's not uncommon, because that was in the Middle East in that day the way justice was meted out. And so many times, because the New Testament is focused on Jesus and his ministry, we don't often get the wide picture of what life was like among those who didn't care about a relationship with God. There are only some minor glances there. But what we do need to understand is the predicament of a woman who was widowed during that day and time. We see from the story that she's in a hopeless situation. The word that describes her in the Greek means that she's been forsaken. She's left without anybody to take care of her, and she's in a predicament that she has no solution for. The word also means she's left empty. So sometimes if you feel like you've got nothing left, you say, "I feel like I'm empty inside." She was empty. There was nothing left for her. Do you understand that widows in that day were not oftentimes were not allowed to remarry? And if she has, if that becomes her situation, she got two alternatives. One is to return to her family, but sometimes the family insisted that the dowry be returned if she was to come back. And so if a family was not willing to give the dowry back, she wasn't allowed to return to her own family. And so to stay in her husband's family a lot of times meant she just became like a servant to that family. So many times widows were mistreated in that society by those who were socially powerful. Sometimes, occasionally, they were even sold as slaves. So here's a woman who comes demanding justice. Do you ever think about why did Jesus tell this story the way he did? Though the scripture's not explicit about it, most of us have grown up hearing and believing Jesus' own mother was probably a widow by this time, because after the birth stories of Jesus, we never hear about Joseph again. That maybe something had happened to him, and maybe he's drawing even from his own upbringing with a widowed mother and how she may have been treated. In Lamentations chapter 1, and I'm just going to pull a few phrases out, it talks about like a widow, she who was like a princess has become a forced laborer. The predicament of a widow in that time. Jesus knew this woman's situation. In Luke chapter 20, verse 47, he condemned the scribe who would, quote, devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. After the woman was swindled, what's she supposed to do? But yet, here's a man who can perpetrate this act and feel okay and then go to prayers. It shows the injustice of all of this. So there were two methods to get a hearing in a crooked court. There were bribes and there were bullying. If you've got the clout, you didn't need the money. You ever been in a place where you were waiting patiently in line and all of a sudden here comes somebody ushered through to go in front of you? They got clout. You know, just kind of gets under my skin sometimes. I don't know about you. But you ever had a time when somebody said, come on up here? I don't worry about it during those times. There was another way to get a hearing, and that was bribes. But if you don't have the money and you don't know how it's done without getting in trouble, you offer a bribe in front of the wrong people, you're in worse trouble than you started. So you've got to know how the system works. And if you're not one of those people, then you're left in the wings while other people go ahead, have their cases heard. But maybe the person you're trying to get justice against is one of those people up there offering the money. How, when you're broke and defenseless, how does she defend herself from being defrauded? She is in a situation. And sometimes when it comes to bringing a request to God, we don't see a solution. If we get real honest, why am I even praying about this? Can we be honest? Why am I even praying about this? Jesus is not talking about hopeless situations. He's talking about, do we really care about something enough to be persistent? You ever go to Walmart to get one item? How many times do you get out of there with one item? Because we are a fickle people. Ooh, I could use that. I could use that. And we go home and then the church appreciates it because you donate it for the next yard sale. Because you really didn't want it or need it. But you brought it home. You opened the package. You tried it. I really didn't need that. Sometimes that's just like our prayer life. Lord, I would like to have this. I would want this. No, not really. It's not important to me. Persistence in prayer has to do with what's important to us. Like Elton Reeves, I think I told you the story of him coming to Christ as a senior adult and his sister professing that she had been praying for her brother for over 40 years that he come to Christ. That's persistence. Is the situation you're facing worth your daily prayers? Is it something that you care about enough to keep praying? In spite of our circumstances, in spite of our troubles, sometimes in spite of our poor decisions, is what we're asking for enough to keep us coming back day in and day out? Do we find hope through our prayers? Then, sometimes our problem that is facing us can seem so big that our prayers seem futile. The situation we're facing seems so overwhelming. Do we continue to trust a God who is bigger than any problem that we face? Sometimes it may seem that we're going through a long, long tunnel and we can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. Are we willing to keep praying? In verse 1, Jesus told his disciples, and he said, and this is Luke's commentary, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Do we have the persistence to keep going in the midst of our predicament? Leroy Imes wrote that prayer is not a computer on which we punch a button and get automatic results. Face it, folks, we live in an age when we will stand impatiently by the microwave. Do you understand? We are so coddled that we don't know what it is to wait. Children know the value of persistence. Mom, can I go? Can I? Can I? Can I? We perfected this when I was a child. Mom, if it's okay with Dad, can I go to my friend's house? Dad, Mom says it's okay with her if it's okay with you. That's the way we learn to ask. You know, persistence. How many of you have been worn down by a child's persistence? Yes? Okay, yeah. And the rest of you aren't telling the truth. How many times in the Sunday comics did Dagwood buy a gadget he didn't want to get the salesman to leave his door? That's what the salesman depends on, is if I keep going back, if I keep talking, he will buy just to get rid of me. This is the, not the positive idea, but this is the idea that we see in what God asks us to do and to keep coming back. God is developing something in us, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. In Luke chapter 11, there's a man that goes to his friend at night because he's had unexpected company show up. And he says, will you loan me some bread so I can feed my guests? And he says, the man tells him, no, I'm already in bed. I'm not going to get up. But because he keeps knocking on the door, his friend will come and give him the bread just to get rid of him. Is that what it says? I don't think the Bible says get rid of him. But the Bible says he will give him what he asks for because he keeps knocking. Justice in the case of the persistent widow is not going to come because it's the right thing to do, because this is an unjust judge. But justice is going to be found because the woman keeps coming back day after day after day. The normal channels for her to receive justice aren't open to her. So she must be persistent. So the only thing left was either to accept defeat or to keep coming back. And I think that's what the Lord is pointing out to us through this parable. It's not going to come. The answer to your request is not going to come if you give up. You're going to accept defeat. Jesus says, keep on asking. It's your persistence. It's your sustained effort that allowed her to get the hearing and to find the prayer answered, the request answered in her favor. George Buttrick wrote, God cannot be found save by a persistent plea. And that word again, persistent. God wants us to continue asking Him. Do we understand that while God wants to answer our prayers, He is not the unjust judge. He's the loving Father. But God is wanting to build something in us, not just answer prayers. God is wanting to mold us, to perfect our patience, to deepen our humility, to clarify our purposes, to purge the dross from us, to free us from insecurity, and to help us to move past a trivial spirit. God is wanting to develop our relationship with Him. There's no grace bestowed on cheap devotion. God is wanting us to go deeper with Him. God is not an ATM machine. Insert a card and get what you want. God is wanting to mold us. We read over and over again about ask for anything in Jesus' name. But you know, my kids learn pretty quick that you can't just add Dad's name to it. It's got to be what Dad intended. If you want anything in Jesus' name, you need to understand it's a matter of praying for what Jesus wants in your life. We only get a response in our deep searching for God. It's told in ancient Persia, when the crops failed and the people had no means for paying their taxes to the Shah, that they would go outside the gates to the palace in protest, the whole group of people. And there they would reach down, crops failed because of lack of rain, and gather up hands full of dust and throw them up into the air and yell and create a stink until somebody came out to see what was going on. You understand? God doesn't want you to create a stink, but He does want you to be persistent in how you ask. How many days have we prayed asking God for His answer to our prayer? What did the judge finally provide? If we read this, he said, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. This is an unjust judge. She had unrelentless persistence that caused her to get the answer she was looking for, so that she would stop bothering Him. Do you understand that your asking for God doesn't bother Him? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God doesn't want you just to bring the big things to Him. It may seem trivial to the rest of us, but if it's important to you, it's important to your Savior. And He invites you. He wants to be involved in every decision in your life. But folks, there's some biggies. And we need to understand that God wants us to bring those requests before Him. So, in the New American Standard Bible, the translation of verse 5, There's a note down at the bottom that I found that says that I'm going to grant her request. And one of the alternative translations of that is, lest she come and hit me under the eye. That widow might get mad enough to give him a black eye, it says. He might have been afraid of her because her persistence might be turned into action. Do you think this woman really wanted what she was asking for? God wants to know what it is you and I really want Him to do. And it's got to be backed up by what it is we ask for over and over again. Do you have something you've been praying for more than a year? More than 2 years? Are you persistent in your daily prayers? Are you trusting in the Lord, a God who loves you, a God who loved you so much that He sent His only Son to die for you? Do you understand that God loves you that much? And He's working, and He's working. The widow found provision at the seat of injustice. How much more can you and I receive an answer at the throne of grace? But to find an answer, you've got to keep asking. And God is inviting you this morning to come before His throne of grace and receive an answer to the prayer that you pray. Will you persist? And by persisting, show your faith, show your trust in the God who saved you. Let's pray together. Thank You this morning, Father, that You invite us to come to You in prayer. Thank You that You call us to persevere and persist in our prayers. And Lord, as we come before You this morning, help us not to be trivial. Help us not to lose heart, but help us to trust You more. And we look forward to the day where we can sing the praise because You've answered our prayer. And we will give You all honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, how do you need to respond? What is your prayer that you're praying? In the privacy of your own prayer room or here in the church? How is God working in your life? And what's He calling you to pray? I want to invite you this morning, if you don't know Jesus and you're here, the most important decision you can ever make is to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Make Jesus Lord of your life. But maybe you're here this morning, you need to unite with this church. Maybe you're here this morning, you need to make a recommitment of your life to the Lord because you've wandered away. Whatever it is you're dealing with the Lord this morning, I want to invite you to respond. Let's stand together.